Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we're just so grateful for who you are. Lord, just rejoicing, Lord, knowing who you are, Lord, and knowing that you truly are the God of impossible. Thank you for showing that to us in a very practical ways in our lives, Lord, and help us not to be blind to it, but to open our eyes, Lord, and to realize full well that you are very present. You are a very present help in our time of need. We need you tonight, Lord, and we ask that you would anoint these next moments, Lord. Anoint your speaker that as he stands here, that he would not be seen, but only you to be seen in him, Lord. That would be my desire tonight, Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The topic that the Lord has put on my heart kind of started last week as I was listening to that special that our precious sister gave, talking about the voice of truth. And there's a lyric in there, "But the voice of truth tells me a different story." And the Lord started to witness to my heart in that time about "but God," and about how that phrase has meant so much to my life, how there have been so many situations in my life where all the things go one way and they just seem to be sliding off a hill, but God. And but God, he changes it. And it's all because he is that God of impossible. Praise his name. So I got to studying, and I just was curious to look up that phrase, "but God." And if you put it in quotes and put it in a search tool, you'll find that it's used 44 times throughout the Word of God. And I thought right off the bat how precious that is, 4 being that number of human weakness, and that 4 being right next to each other 2 times. We have sufficient witness of our perfect weakness, but God. And thank the Lord that in our weakness, there's a but God for me. And I was thinking about that. I was mentioning my mom, she didn't remember, and this is kind of, maybe this might go over people's heads, but you remember when the iPhone came out and they were talking about the App Store, and they had this catchphrase that whatever problem you had, there's an app for that, is what they would say. Well, as I was reading through all these instances of this phrase, but God, it came to me, whatever situation you're facing, whatever problem you have, there's a but God for that. And that was a precious thing. So maybe that'll be my catchphrase for this little study this evening. But there's, as I started to kind of look at each one of these, a lot of these kind of fell into different categories. And there were 5 kind of categories of but God that I'd like to look at this evening. The first one is the category of salvation. The next one is the category of the continued grace in a Christian life. The third one is growth in a Christian life. The fourth is tribulation that the Christian faces. And the last one is that battle of tomorrow that's in store for each one of us. So the first one, salvation. This is the first kind of category of a Christian life where that phrase, but God, pops up. And if we look at Acts and chapter 13, verse 28 through 30, we'll read kind of where the first one pops up. So if you go to Acts chapter, I'm sorry, I said the wrong chapter. It's Acts 13, verse 28. Acts 13, 28. We read here, speaking of Jesus, "And they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when he had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher." That's a pretty defeating circumstance. But God raised him from the dead. And so we see that this phrase, this power of this but God, laid the foundation, laid the pathwork for us to even have a path of salvation. We know that Romans 8:11 declares that it was the Spirit that the power of the Spirit is what raised Christ from the dead. So naturally we follow that this but God has its power only by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 2, if you'd turn there with me, Ephesians 2 and verse 2, we'll read verses 2 and 3, we'll see how this but God of salvation gets applied to the Christian life, how that foundation takes root in our lives. Ephesians 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherein in times past You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which we know is the devil, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I want us to note this phrase all in verse 2, or in verse 3, among whom we all had our conversation in times past. We all had this conversation, this manner of life, of a born in sin and shapen in iniquity, without exception. So we find ourselves in a pretty tragic condition, condemned by this lifestyle. But here's this phrase that pops up in verse 4, but God. And this is where it hits home for a Christian. We know what we would be apart from God, but praise the Lord, he provided a wonderful but God for us here. And so we read in verses 4 through 7, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. And I just think about how wonderful that is. You know, if it stopped at, but God who is rich in mercy, that would be wonderful. But it doesn't stop there. Right? It goes into, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved. Wonderful. If it stopped there, praise the Lord for eternity. But it doesn't stop there. He raised us up together and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if it stopped there, that would be enough to praise him for eternity too. But it doesn't stop there. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we have, and what a wonderful salvation we have, all because of but God. It wasn't because of anything that we did. It's all because of that power of but God and what but God provided for our lives. Hallelujah. So we know that that was the only way to salvation. Even the Pharisees knew that. Even they knew. You don't have to go there, but I'll read what is written in Mark chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, the second half of that verse says, who can forgive sins but God only? We only had one way. There was only one way to salvation, and that was only through but God. If God hadn't stepped in our lives, we'd be absolutely helpless and hopeless. So I ask, do you need salvation? There's a but God for that. Praise the Lord. But the grace of God doesn't stop there. For a Christian, it doesn't stop at salvation, right? It continues into our everyday walk as a Christian. We need that grace. And so the second category of God's continued grace in a Christian life is the second place where this phrase, but God, pops up. So, you know, we know that as we walk, we will stumble, we will fail, we will need grace, absolutely. There's no question about it. Nobody's going to walk perfectly in this life. We're all going to hit those times where we need grace in our life, absolutely. So thank the Lord, he's provided a but God for that too. In Genesis chapter 20, I just think this is so sweet as the Lord was showing me through these scriptures. Genesis in chapter 20, we read, I think this is the first time in the Word of God where this phrase but God pops up. And what a wonderful place it shows itself. So the situation here is that Abraham is fearful. So we'll read from, we'll read verses 21 and 22 of, or I'm sorry, in chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelling between Kadesh and Sur, so he journeyed in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech the king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. Now I want us to notice, that this is not the first time that Abraham had made this mistake of calling Sarah his sister. This was the second time he did it. You'd think that he'd learn his lesson, right? But he didn't. And so he comes into this country and thinks, oh boy, they're going to kill me because she's so beautiful and we're married. They're going to just kill me and take her. So yeah, she's my sister. You know, he does it again. And you'd think, you know, that the grace of God would run out in some people, in all of our lives, not just some people, but all of our lives. We all have these situations where we have a failure, and then a week goes by and we have that same failure again after the Lord exhorts us not to do that. But praise the Lord, His grace follows us through all the way. And so in verse 3 we read, "But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, 'Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman of such thou hast taken, she is the man's wife.'" So the Lord stepped in. This situation could have gotten really bad for Abraham. You know, all of a sudden he's just kind of given his wife away. And, you know, that's not good. But the Lord stepped in. And before anything could happen to her, the Lord stepped in. And he had his grace and he said, "Nope, that's not going to happen." Even though Abraham might have, you know, he didn't do anything to deserve that, right? He didn't deserve the grace of God. But the grace of God stepped in for him in this situation. Praise the Lord. Another time we read this was in Psalm 73 in verse 26. And praise the Lord for this. This might be, as I was reading it, this might be one of my new favorite verses here. Psalm 73 and verse 26. This is a psalm of Asaph. It says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Thank the Lord. This word portion here means our award from God, our reward from God. And this was true of Asaph. You know, the Old Testament overcomers had a reward of the Lord, and the Lord was their reward. But for us New Testament saints, this means something completely different. Right? The Lord being our portion, we expect to see Him as our bridegroom. That's a wonderful, blessed portion. Hallelujah. And we wish and we aspire for that day that He would be our bridegroom and our portion in that way. And this word heart, as I looked into it, has many different definitions, this heart that fails. And I think that is absolutely precious. As I was looking through it, it just spoke to me so sweetly because our hearts fail in many different ways, right? I mean, my heart fails, but it's not just a physical way or an emotional way, but it fails a lot of other different ways. So let's explore as we look through these definitions. I just want you to think, does your heart fail in this way? How about understanding? This is one of the definitions for this word heart. Understanding. Does your understanding fail? Mine does. We heard when we're talking, I think one of the most challenging situations that has confronted me recently and others is this topic of young death. You know, people who die at an early age, parents who have to say goodbye to their children. That's something that I don't understand. I don't understand the Lord's ways in that. But praise the Lord, God is the strength of my heart. Oh, hallelujah. I don't have to understand it. I looked up that word strength. Do you know what it means? It means my refuge, my rock. Oh, hallelujah. I can just run to Him. When I'm stricken with this grief and these things are confronting me and challenging my understanding of the Lord, I don't have to understand. I run to my rock and I say, "I believe the Lord." Hallelujah. And I stand in that. So hallelujah. He's our strength and our understanding. And my understanding falls short. Our ways are not God's ways. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that He's our strength. And praise the Lord that in lack of understanding, there's a but God for that. Hallelujah. You know, we can say as Job, that yet though He slay me, and yet though He slay those around me, I will trust Him. Hallelujah. But the second, another definition for this word, heart, the heart that fails, is memory. And how often do we forget? How often do we forget? We're so quick to forget. The things that the Lord has shown us about how wonderful He is, or the wonderful things that He does in our lives. I mean, it can be a miraculous, such a miraculous event, and we're just so quick to forget about it and run back into unbelief. So our hearts fail in this way. You know, I think about the Old Testament, and, you know, just to name a few, we won't look at them, but I was thinking about Samson. Right after he had that victory over those men, those 1,000 men, slayed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. And then immediately, like the next moment, I mean, he had just barely tossed it down, and he asked the Lord, well, have you brought me here? You've given me this victory, and now I'm going to die of thirst. But if you look into that, there's a but God there. It says, but God provided a brook that babbled up that would quench his thirst. So praise the Lord. Even in our memory, the Lord's still faithful to have his grace on us. And I think about time and time again through Exodus, as we read about the children of Israel as they exited from Egypt, miraculous deliverance. You know, I mean, you looked at their miraculous deliverance from the hand of the Egyptians, and they're up against this sea. And instead of going, you know, the God that performed all those miracles, whatever, he's capable of whatever. No, they said to Moses, have you brought us out here to die? Were there no graves suitable for us in Egypt? We couldn't die there. We have to die out here. And then, boom, this miraculous, the sea parts. And then not a short, you know, so wonderful. And they praise the Lord for a little while. And then, you know, soon enough, they get back into this, whoa, we're going to die of hunger. You know, you brought us out here to die. They forget. They forget who the Lord is for their life. And then, sure enough, the Lord feeds them with miraculous food from the sky. And then, you know, some time goes by and they complain about thirst. And he brings thirst out of a dry rock. It's like, how many miracles do you need to see? Right? But how much is that my life? How much is that our life? Look into your life and look at how many times the Lord does these miraculous things in your life, but how quick we are to go back into unbelief. So our memory fails. Our memory is very short, but God. Hallelujah. He's so faithful in our lack of memory. You know, we're so quick to forget him. But praise God, he's still faithful, and he provides for us. So what about determination? That's another word for this heart that fails. How often does our determination to win the Lord fail? That happens a lot. Absolutely, we become distracted and discouraged, but God. But God's faithful. What about our passion? How often does our passion for Christ, you know, that passion for that one that gave his life for us, how quickly does that fade? That fades off a lot, very, very quickly, but God. Courage, that was another definition. How often do we get fearful in unbelief? The Lord's faithful for that. And then the last one, or one of the other ones was emotions. And how many times do our emotions get out of control? You know, our heart fails by just emotional eruption, and we let the emotions get the best of us. But God's faithful for that, you know. He's our strength in those moments. What about, and the last one too, that I'll mention was moral character. And I thought about how many times do we allow our testimony in front of our coworkers, our family, our friends to fail, you know. Our heart fails in that way too. But praise the Lord, he's faithful. He's absolutely faithful, and he is our strength. And these are just a few ways. I'm sure we could sit here all night and list all the ways that our hearts can fail, right? But praise God, in every single one of those, we could also list a reason that the Lord's faithful to us, and the Lord's grace comes in on top of our failure. Hallelujah. So when we experience this, you know, when Satan gets our mind all wrapped up in how far short of the mark that we're falling. Praise God. Go to the rock. Go to the refuge. Know that, yeah, my heart does fail. Absolutely. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's where we should turn. So you got a choice. Which side of that verse do you want to dwell on? Do you want to dwell on the side of my heart fails? Or do you want to dwell on the other side of the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever? Hallelujah. You got a choice. You got a choice. Which side of that do you want to dwell on? Praise the Lord. And it all hinges on that but God, right? That's the pivot point. But God. Are you going to allow but God to come in and do miraculous things and perform miraculous grace in your life? Or are you going to stand back? Praise the Lord. Let us go on. So we don't have to stay in defeat. We can rejoice and recognize but God is the strength, the rock, the refuge of my heart. And how is he the strength of my heart? Well, it's through faith in his grace. Praise the Lord. And Jesus knew that struggle. You know, he told the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And how many times, I mean, we have to understand that. We have to know, just like that number four, that flesh is weak. That's human weakness. Praise the Lord. And Paul experienced that conflict too. I'll read from Romans 7 and 18 through 19 says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would, that I do. That thing that I try to stay away from, it just keeps sucking me in time and time again. But praise the Lord, in Romans 7, 24 through 25, he provides that wonderful pivot point where we see his grace. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's a but God here. Praise the Lord. And when Paul recognized that and applied it to his life, he became very thankful for the failures of his life because he saw them as an opportunity to glorify the Lord. You know, he knew, and he penned those words, not to sin willingly that grace may abound, but he knew that in times of failure, you have a choice. You have a choice whether you can stay in that defeat or you can take the grace of God and magnify the name of the Lord and his grace. And he said, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses and verse 10, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, my reproaches, in necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah that the Lord is so faithful to show us and remind us how weak we are apart from him. It's a wonderful thing because if we're not weak, he can't show that strength faithful in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He brings us weak for his the purpose of his glory. Thank the Lord. So we see, I mean, and you see even in that, you know, for when I am weak, then I am strong. There's that same pattern there. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart. So when we find ourselves in a place of defeat, we always have that choice. Hallelujah. So I encourage us, take the situation and turn it to praise. Don't allow the enemy to keep you in that place of defeat. Thank the Lord. Know that this is just an opportunity for the Lord to showcase his grace and put it on display in you. Thank the Lord. So the next topic that, the next category of verses that the Lord kind of showed me is in the grace of a Christian, or I'm sorry, the growth of a Christian life. So we know that we need him for salvation. We know that we need that, but God, that power for our keeping grace, our practical walk every day, but we also need it for growth. We can't grow without that power of but God in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Thank the Lord. Now, so we know it's not just the power of salvation, that but God power isn't just for salvation, but it's also for spiritual increase, every little spiritual increase in our life. You know, we can preach and teach, right? I mean, it says that Paul planted and Apollos watered. They preach and teach, that's great, but it's God that gives the increase. It wasn't them. It wasn't Apollos or Paul or anybody else. You know, I'm up here, I'm ministering the word, but if you're growing, it's not because it's me up here. You know, I mean, if you receive something from our pastor, wonderful, but it's not because of him. It's because of Jesus Christ. It's because of that power, but God. But God gives the increase. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful for how he just works that all together in our lives. You know, that's why I always pray. You know, when, if I'm up here, I pray that I'm invisible. I pray that I just get out of the way. It's not about, you know, it's not about a vessel. Praise the Lord. It's God that gives the increase. Hallelujah. And, you know, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit revealing it for us to receive anything at all. And that's that power of but God in our life. And in 1 Corinthians 2, just right across the page, we read kind of the same thing here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So that's especially true on those deep things of God. You know, I mean, apart from the Lord and his faithfulness to reveal by his Spirit the word to us, we would have no way of knowing this, right? I mean, you can study this under a microscope and be a scholar and all these different types of things, but if it's not the Holy Spirit that's revealing it to your life, you're not going to receive anything. Yeah. But praise the Lord, but God. We are incapable of understanding this, but God. He made a way that we could. He gave us the power of His Holy Spirit. He gave us these scriptures, and it wasn't just like a, here it is, do your best to figure it out, I'm out of here. You know, I mean, He gave us a practical, He gave us an everyday helper, that comforter who can just teach us this word. The very author of the Word of God, He's given us the opportunity to invite Him into our heart, that He can dwell in us and reveal these things to us and search our heart. What can I receive today? Praise the Lord. That's the power of but God in our life.
Amen.
So hallelujah. And then another instance where we see some growth because of this but God. Go to Acts in chapter 10 and verse 28. Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. And this was Peter. Acts 10, 28. He says, "And he said unto them, ye know how it is unlawful, an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Now we know what Peter's talking about here. He's talking about that middle wall of partition that was between the Jews and the Greeks, Jews and the Gentiles, that was broken down in Ephesians 2 and verse 14. And that's a wonderful thing. But as I was reading this and thinking about, as our pastor was mentioning, these things that are happening in the political eye of, or the, I guess, the world's eye today, he just showed me, he made me to meditate on this topic of racism. And make no mistake about it, racism is still a very prominent issue in today's day. It's a very prominent issue. But God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And just as our pastor mentioned, that's the only solution to an issue that's so deep-seated. You know, just as he showed Peter here that he should not call any man common, that means unsanctified or unholy or unclean, he can do that same thing in the lives of people that need it today. He can. He's the only one, really, that can reveal to somebody that need of Jesus in that way in their life. So praise the Lord. You know, He's there for us, not only to show us those things in our life, but also to bring that solution. But God. Hallelujah. That's the power. And I think about that. It's just something, you know, I was thinking about how, you know, some of these... you know, our political candidates right now have offered up their various solutions to different issues and things of that nature. And you just sit there and you shake your head and you just say, that isn't going to do it. Only but God can get that done, can change people's hearts in that way. You know, that's not something that you can get out with legislation or something of that nature. So it's wonderful. As Christians, we have access to that power. And what a wonderful thing. So not only is it by grace that we, or by the grace of God and the power of but God, do we obtain salvation and have grace to cover us every day, but we also grow by that. But one of the other things that we need but God, and we need that power in a very practical way in our life, is when we face tribulation and oppression. And every day we face that. We have many different needs of this. I was thinking about in times of death. If you look at Genesis 48, verse 21, in the face of death, there was a but God that popped up. Genesis 48 and verse 21. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. And I think about how hopeless death can be to our life and how low we can really be brought in times of death. But God.
Amen.
But God. He's there and He comforts us with His presence and the promise of His presence in times of death. What about times of betrayal? If we turn to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, we all know this story about Joseph and how he was betrayed. But in the very end of it, he recognized that but God in his life. Genesis 50 and verse 20 says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And I think about how, especially betrayal, and especially for a Christian, that can face this even at the hands of their brothers, you know, their spiritual kin in Christ, can face betrayal. That's a hard place to be. But God. You know, I mean, people can try to plot against us as Christians and try to bring us down and stab us in the back and things like that. But you're not going to sneak one past God. And God's got a plan in it. And if he's allowed something like that in your life, there's a very specific purpose. And praise the Lord, he steps in on those types of things. And he hasn't, although our brothers might turn their backs on us, he doesn't, right? So praise the Lord. What about keeping us from trials? That power of but God can keep us from trials. If we look at 1 Samuel, chapter 23 and verse 14. We read about David as he was on the run. 1 Samuel 23, verse 14, says, "And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not unto his hand." That power of but God delivered David from Saul's hand. And I just think about that. You know, I mean, I don't think that Saul was incapable. It wasn't because he just didn't have the resources. I mean, he had a whole army at his command looking for David every day. But God, if God wants you to be hid, you'll be hid. Praise the Lord. And then, you know, he can keep us from sorrow. He kept Paul from sorrow. In Philippians chapter 2, 25 through 27, we read that it pops up here. "Yet I supposed it necessary," this is Philippians 2:25. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick and nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." So praise the Lord, he can keep us from sorrow. And I just wonder, you know, maybe in ages to come, the Lord will show us all the things that he kept us from. But moreover, the Lord can also keep us with that power of but God in the trial. Amen? Praise the Lord. If we look at 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And praise the Lord. You know, a lot of people want to stop right there and say, "So see, you know, the Lord won't give me anything that more than I'm able to bear." Well, yeah, but you know, and then they face this situation that's more than they can bear, and they wonder why. But they haven't read the whole rest of the verse. He will, with that temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll give you the faith to trust him that's beyond you. You know, just like we read about, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart." He will. He'll push you beyond what you're able. But God is faithful. He's faithful to provide that way of escape through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Exodus 13, we kind of already talked about that. It popped up. I guess I'll read it quickly. Exodus 13 and verse 18. We already talked about how Israel was facing these situations that would have put them in death time and time again. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness, of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. We know that the Lord came to them in this way and showed them the power of but God, even though there were so many things that would have killed them. And I just take that for encouragement for our own lives, about how impossible their situation was and the impossible situations that we thank the Lord. And in first, so I mean, I guess I'll, yeah, we'll go on. So not only can the Lord keep us from trials by the power of God, but he can also keep us in trials. And that's a wonderful thing. He hasn't abandoned us when we face trials. So the final encouragement is meditating about the battles of tomorrow and how the power of God will show up in the battle that we might face tomorrow. And go to 2 Chronicles, verse 20, or chapter 20. And this is a wonderful story, and this will be our closing meditation. And just, I would encourage us just to keep the encouragement here in this story, and maybe study it out this week if you have a moment. And if you don't, I would make a moment. I've learned that. I've learned that a lot of times I don't have a moment to study the Word. I have to make a moment, you know. And, you know, it's funny. When I make a moment, then the Lord gives me moments for other stuff that I got to do. Praise the Lord. So make a moment. But thinking about the battles of tomorrow that we might face, we should know that because God makes itself manifest in our lives so many times, when we move on to a new trial or battle, there's a but God for that. So we'll read. And this time happened, the people of Judah were up against a very formidable adversary. And, you know, they didn't have a chance, right? I mean, physically speaking, and Jehoshaphat, as he prayed, he acknowledged that fact, that they didn't have any strength against this enemy. But we'll pick up reading this story after Jehoshaphat has prayed. In verse 14, it says, "Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jerel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Ahath, the Spirit of the Lord, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, all ye Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is God's. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow, so then go down to verse 18. It says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high." So they took the Lord at face value. And I pray that we do that in our lives too, that we recognize that those battles that we face, they belong to the Lord, and that we belong to him, and he will make a way for us. So going into those trials, we can stand up and we can praise him, knowing that there's already an answer to this situation. And so praise the Lord. So continue reading here. "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord." You'd think going into a battle, you'd appoint soldiers, right? But he appointed singers. He appointed people that could praise the Lord with a loud voice, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." They went into that battle just praising the Lord, taking him at face value. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Praise the Lord. And when Jehoshaphat had called the people to come take away the spoil from them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for them, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Praise the Lord. And they didn't have to lift a finger, right?
Hallelujah.
That's the God that we face. And it was all because the battle is not yours, but God's.
Hallelujah.
So I guess I'd encourage us, you know, in closing, thinking about all the times that "but God" has popped up in our life so far. Whatever faces you tomorrow, know that you can go into it just knowing that the battle is not yours, but God's. Remember and rejoice in that power and praise the Lord. So I hope this has been an encouragement to you. It's just such a wonderful thought to know that we have a God that loves us so much and that he's so involved in our lives, and that although we face such hard times and such difficult circumstances as Christians, there's a but God for that. So praise the Lord. Let's stand and worship the Lord.